we should create a little artifact here where we all say pedagogy because we all pronounce it differently, and we can just say it like four times
pedagogy,
in a row, and then we'll overlap
pedagogy,
it.
Pedagogy.
But you can't. If I'm thinking about it, then I'm gonna change my pronunciation without even realizing.
Pedagogy.
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 Welcome to the anniversary episode of the Pedagogy Toolkit. In this episode, Alex, Amelie, Cammie, and James discuss the updates to Blackboard Ultra since our first episode. Get ready for AI, rubrics, and design.
How many do we actually have now?
27?
This will be 28?
This will be 27. On the thing. One is the trailer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very far behind.
What's funny is, in this last instructor email that I just sent on Tuesday, and there was a lot of in our planner stuff about, hey, the Pedagogy Toolkit podcast is launching next week. Hey, the Pedagogy Toolkit launches this week. All this, like, I was like, oh, we're getting to that point.
And then our first official episode was an ultra weapon of mass instruction, where we talked about Blackboard Ultra.
That's still one of my favorite episode titles.
It still gets a fair bit of download.
Yeah. Well, and so much has changed since then, too. Like, back then, we were just really starting to move to Ultra. It was just announced that, hey, this is eventually going to be something that we switch to. Had we even said, hey, we're going to do this by fall of 2024?
No, that wasn't on the calendar yet.
I didn't think so.
The funny thing is I went back and re-listened to the episode and reread the notes that Shrini and I had pulled and created for it. The main focus that we had around it was its responsive design and how it's mobile friendly. And yeah. Looking back now, as I've reflected, that's one of the things that probably comes up least on my radar.
Yeah.
As I'm designing courses. I don't know if that's the case for anyone else.
No, I think that's fair, but that really was a foundational difference because, not to be too harsh on Blackboard, what we call classic.
Be harsh.
It wasn't designed for mobile. They kind of bolted on things to make it more or less work on mobile. But I really was proud of them, you know, from a software development point of view, that they took it down to the studs and just did it over instead of trying to keep bolting things on.
Go ahead, Alex.
I was going to ask, when we first started the rollout of integrating and using Ultra, what were some of the features that you maybe didn't like so much that you've come around to like, or maybe that you still don't like? And then let's go there. And then what are you excited about as it continues to develop? Because it's continually evolving.
The text editor. I did not like it, and I still do not like it. It has grown slightly
better.
But the table in there, oh my gosh, it's terrible.
Yeah, the table
is. The table feature. I mean, I'm glad they have one, but also, no, you did not do that right.
No, it's not good. Things disappear from it, and I can't undo if I accidentally delete something on it. You can't change the width of your columns. You can't do a lot of things.
It makes me cringe every time I see it. I enjoy a good table as much as the next person, but those tables just make me cringe.
There's still no soft return, is there?
Oh,
Still no soft return. That's my one weird thing that I really want.
Yeah, I really want it, too, and it bothers me.
You have to make the bullets.
And like, there's no tab.
I can kind of understand that one.
There's no, like,
for technical reasons.
Bullet
maker. But there's not even
a
way to do it.
You have to do it on a keyboard.
Right. Yeah, the text editor is a little rough.
There is a bullet maker.
I wondered why they...
Mine doesn't have one.
Yeah, it's the one that looks like a paragraph symbol.
Yeah, that's one of the more confusing.
Yeah, that's one of the more confusing pieces.
Because the list view, or to add list, you click on the paragraph tab.
Why would you do that? That is not what the paragraph tab means.
Are you listening?
Are we talking
anthology?
About bulleted lists?
Do we just need to drop this?
Well, you know, bulleted lists, you can just do an asterisk and a space.
Oh, I don't do. I just do the dash and the space.
That'll work too.
That's what I do.
We should drop this episode in the circle. Anthology Teaching and Learning Exchange.
Ooh,
hey,
just listen to this.
Here are some problems. Anthology.
One of the things that I struggled with a little at first, and now that I've taught with it and had to tutor the instructors with it, I've become more fond of the gradebook in this one. It is, however, I think the biggest learning curve for our instructors.
I would agree.
It's the thing that they have the most questions about and the most complaints about and the most frustrations with. Mm-hmm. But the more I get used to it, the more comfortable I feel working with it. And the things that bothered me don't bother me as much.
That was easily my least favorite part of Classic was the gradebook. I thought it was horrible. And of course, I never really had to use it.
Right.
But just dealing with it as an instructional designer, I would often kick it to Excel just so I could see what was going on, which is miserable. So the new one, I thought, wow, this is way better. At least it's visually way better. And I have gotten a lot of questions about it. I think it's getting better.
I would agree, because I did the exact same thing when I taught in originals. I would always, to run grades, export, do it in Excel. I'm actually looking forward to this fall when I teach to just using the actual integrated gradebook. I'm not anticipating that I'm going to have to move things, because a little bit easier to edit, a little bit easier to make changes, the calculations and running those on there.
So when you have an LTI tool like VoiceThread or even Kaltura Quizzes, it auto grades these things a lot of times, or you can override the grade. However, you cannot edit the feedback in the gradebook.
That's right.
And so you
not
can't.
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, the box is there, but you can't get into it. And so.
But notes on overrides are coming.
Okay. Well, there we go. How about that? I hope that's a fix. But specifically for LTI tools, because that's not just an override.
That's true.
If it's auto graded, then it's there. Because we also have LinkedIn Learning, it's attached to. Mm-hmm. And so that's also an LTI.
Yeah.
That if it's graded because, you watched the video or took the quiz or whatever it was that you did in LinkedIn, you can't provide feedback there. And if you're an instructor who uses VoiceThreads instead of discussions, that really limits you, because you can't give private feedback. You can only give responses in the VoiceThread.
If you use rubrics, there are weird tricks to it if you use rubrics.
Is weird tricks a positive or a negative? I can't tell.
Both.
Okay.
if you have a rubric attached to an assignment and you end up just putting in a grade and you don't actually click on the rubric physically.
Yes.
Like go in and click on the numbers, it will always treat your grade as an override, and it will say that there are new submissions and that things have not been graded. And that was probably the biggest frustration for my instructors.
Run into this, yes.
Why does it say I haven't graded these? I graded them. There's a grade. It's posted. It's been given back to the students. It's done. And it says that I still have things to grade. And it's all because you have to use the rubric. So that's the bad part. The good part is that if you're going to use a rubric, use a rubric. If you're going to use it.
Don't put it in and then not upload the scores to each
side. So,
and the rubrics are really good. I mean, they basically,
the rubrics are
to me, it looks
good.
Like they looked at Google Classroom and said, hey, this rubric tool is really good. Let's just remake this. And they did. And it's good.
We're getting no score rubrics. I kind of love that.
Yeah. Oh.
What do you use a no score rubric for, Cammie or Alex or Amelie?
Or anyone.
For just giving feedback.
A formative type.
For formative feedback.
See.
Yeah.
Okay.
That could be really helpful.
I mean, I used to give my students their feedback before I gave them their grades when I was teaching, because I wanted them to focus on the feedback before they focused on what their grade, because if they got an A, they might go, I don't need to change anything. If they got a low grade, they might be so focused on the low grade that they weren't seeing the. So I gave them all their feedback and gave them like a day or two between feedback and grade, which as a student I would hate, but as an instructor, I get to I get to inflict that on my students.
Well,
but I think it's, but pedagogically, I think it's sound.
Well, I will say the grade book is probably the thing that I hear the most complaints about as well. And a lot of it actually revolves around discussion board grading specifically, partly because the prompt is shown on every single student submission when you go on. There's like the prompt, and then below that is the student submission.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that's been added.
Well, that's.
I
so
actually
just to
like
clarify,
that.
That's in the. That'd be in the grading view, not in the grade book, correct?
Correct.
Right.
Technically, yes. So okay. this is grading.
I actually like that. It's the reminder of what.
But, and sometimes yes, but when they're longer, then they have to scroll down the page, and it means extra clicking and moving for them. And when you have, you know, 40 students in a class in one of your classes, and you're teaching three classes, it just, you know, they don't. It makes it less expedient for
You'd
them.
You just like a way to hide it, maybe.
Like a drop. If you hit it one way, it wouldn't go into the next one. So there's that. And then also one thing they've added are the discussion metrics, right, where they'll analyze the writing and things like that. But in the grading, okay, so generally, you know, in a typical from ways past the way people set up their discussions is you have to make a post with this number of words, at least this number of words first, and then you have to make one or two replies to your classmates with at least this many words left, right? Trying to make them robust. Ultra does not count a word count per post. They give you an average. If they, you know, did 350 in one and 150 in the other, that's 500 words divided by two is 250. So they'll just say 250. That's the average word count.
Yeah.
And
then at the same time, they're doing a whole lot of really involved metrics about the lexile of the
of the
writing. And it's kind of misleading on things that are that short when you start giving grade level lexiles.
And right.
Skew some instructors' feelings about it if they're easily swayed that way.
I like that they have that data, but I wish they would show it on the student side because they only show it on the instructor
side.
That's
true.
Yeah.
And there are tools, like there are third-party discussion board tools out there that show that kind of data on the student side, and then instructors can build that into their assignment if they like.
That way they see how are they coming across on the interaction side. I will say, though, to push back maybe against that a little bit, does a post have to be, and this is more of a pedagogical point.
Pedagogical.
You can't say pedagogical.
I just did.
Pedagogical.
It's pedagogical. Pedagogy. Pedagogical.
Pedagogy. Pedagogical.
Pedagogical pedagogy.
Go for it.
So.
Sorry.
Oh, I knew I was opening that can of worms when I said it.
Anyway, go ahead.
I think a word count is an unnecessary and mostly unuseful metric to determine quality of the post.
I actually agree.
I agree with that. But I think that we don't always have the insight to create prompts that maybe bring out those quality.
Who's we?
Yeah. Instructors.
Speak for yourself, lady.
We instructors. And yes, I'm including you in that, Alex.
Joke's on you. I don't have discussion boards in my class.
But no, I think that is the – in some ways it's a Band-Aid because it's not knowing how else to engage in back and forth conversation that feels natural. And so there's this word count, but I think a lot of students get focused on the word count and not on the quality, which I think is similar with instructors that get that hung up on whether they did the right number of words per. If they had a good response, they had a good response. Yeah. I'm not sure it needed to be 150 words or 100 words or 200 words. I see it from the instructor's point of view, that is a frustration, and it seems like a weird thing.
Well, I think it's that combating the auto response that we all do.
Yes.
Like, oh, yes, that's a brilliant response. I think so, too.
It's a type 1, type 2 error, right? You're gonna find error on either side of where you land on it.
One of the things that has, I think, improved that we've been using in some of our classes to play into that need is the peer review. We've been using that as in place of some discussion boards. So that, because what it does is it collects all the responses and then it randomly distributes two responses to each student to respond to.
You can choose how many responses they get.
Yes. And then some of the instructors have like a journal entry where they have to then respond and reflect on the responses to their initial submission. So you've got, you're building in the loop.
Right.
And not just building in the, be sure you respond with enough words and respond to two people. That, and you're kind of guaranteeing that there's responses to things. Because we've all seen ones where there's 10 responses to the discussion board and only three of them got
their merit.
Got any.
Right. Well, and I feel like the peer review, that has been such an improvement from Blackboard Original. Mm-hmm. I'm really impressed with it. I'm really just now starting to play with that because one of my courses has thought about implementing that. So I tested it out with James and Bob the other day. And I was really impressed with how it did it. Now, you do have to think through, like, you know, okay, I've got this due date for the assignment. I've got a second due date for the peer review.
Because the due dates can be a little tricky with that.
Right. Because you have to wait till after the due date for the assignment before the peer reviews can start.
Right. But I love that it flags if you don't have enough responses. Mm-hmm. It flags. The grading on it is really simple because you see how many responses each person has done. It's kind of a nice.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice improvement.
I like it. And, you can kind of equate it to the small group discussions because mm-hmm. you can assign your small groups to a discussion board. And so then you just have three or four students in there. And that makes the conversation, I think, a little bit more personal.
Which groups is another thing that I think it has handled really well.
Okay, so wins so far. Who's keeping score? I'm keeping score. Wins so far. Mobile first design, definitely a win. Peer review.
Win.
Definitely a win. You just mentioned it.
What groups. Was it? Groups. I would say groups.
It handles groups. Yeah. The way it handles groups makes much more sense than the way it handled in Ultra. Go ahead.
Another one.
Go ahead.
Accommodations.
Accommodations.
I haven't messed with that one yet.
I like it much better.
You can set accommodations for time.
Or due date
on a student setting, and it pushes to every assignment.
It's at the student level instead of having to do groups.
Having to create groups for the different students of different accommodations.
I think that's way better.
And you can do it from a couple different spots within the system.
I do think this can improve by adding more of a variety of accommodations.
Yes.
And having a little more customization to it, but I absolutely love that it's one place.
It's student-based.
Yes, it's student-based. You can go through the grade book or you can go through your roster, find that student, set the accommodation, and boom. It's not per assignment. It's not per group. It's individual.
I'm going to add one to the pile.
Do it.
Of wins. It's the file preview feature that's
that
when you create documents, it's a lovely thing. For any of you who haven't messed with it yet, when you throw a document at now, you can throw common file formats at it, Word, PowerPoint, etc., and it will do a very nice PDF preview on the fly. It uses a little third-party library. I like this feature so much, I dug around to see what they were using behind the scenes. And they use an open-source library that turns it into a PDF on the fly. But then the second genius move, and that it's got a lot of great display features. You can zoom in, zoom out, do all kinds of cool stuff. But you can also, there's a download button that will let you download the original file. So you never get in that situation on the instructor end of having to maintain two documents, the source file and the PDF. And then if you get in that situation where you have lost the source file, you can always download a copy. And for that matter, the students can download a copy, which makes it handy for them, too, in a lot of situations. And you have control over that, too. So that's a win.
You know what I think I was not sold on at first is batch edit, but now I love because they've improved it so much.
They have improved it a lot.
There's still, like, a few little, buggy things about it. But for the most part, That's brilliant.
Batch editing your due dates, your due times, mm-hmm. reveal times, all that. I mean, you can completely customize from there.
Visibility.
Yeah.
But also if they would make batch copying.
Yeah.
Because
that would be nice.
That is the one thing they are missing. I love the drag and drop feature, but that is not enough. And I'm sorry, I should not have to go to the place that I want the item every single time, hit the plus sign, click copy item, and then go find it in my course that I'm already in.
I mean, you can.
I should be able to copy from the item.
But you can do several things when you go to copy. You can copy multiple and then drag them into place.
Right, so but then I have to do easy. More it's things.
Just, yeah, it's annoying.
I'd
yeah.
like a batch move. If I get a batch yeah, I move, like a batch I would move. Be super
I
happy about
it. I do
that.
Want a batch move, yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think that your comments about that point to another thing, another good thing, and that is that the continuous improvement of the thing is like they right. have a nice setup where you can go and find and suggest ideas, find ideas that have already been suggested, and contribute to the development of the product, and they actually roll out things. And so far, I mean, they keep moving it in the right direction. I haven't seen them roll something out where I'm like, oh, I hate this. I wish they hadn't done this. So far, they keep rolling out good things. So this has been nice. I mean, challenging to develop in it.
I was going to say, my only complaint is that, you know, one of the changes that's coming, I've just got everybody trained to click on the grid in the grade book.
Right.
Oh,
and now
they're
taking away.
Yes.
Obviously, wait, they've heard.
I've missed that part. What are they going to do?
Is they're going to put. They're going to.
It's going to be words.
Words. Just statement links.
Yeah. Because they said the grid and line view were really too, confusing for people.
Yeah, they gotcha. Were.
And so they're replacing them with words. But now that I've already talked to my instructors about what these mean and gotten
they'll at least recognize grid and line. Hopefully.
But yeah, that'll be.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the statistics that you can pull and the ones that you can't.
Connectivity reports.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm going to say that's a win, James. You better put that in your category.
What am I putting as a win?
All the analytics.
Yeah.
I know there are some analytics that it doesn't do that you wish it did do.
Yeah, see, maybe I might be on the other side of this
one.
Then again, I like word counts. I didn't want to say that earlier. I didn't want to be the one guy.
But I love being able to pull individual student data to be able to see how much they are working in different places to track them over time.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, being able to pull and look at graphs that show every student compared to the average, every student individually. You can watch their growth throughout in a variety of ways. And that's been really cool at the end of the courses to go back and look and see what was happening with different students and then tracking that to things like announcements and you know, just literally what's happening in the course.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's I think that is so useful, and mm-hmm. that's one of the top features that instructors just go wild about.
Yeah.
When I tell them about it, they're like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you could do that. And James, just so you know, I am not anti-word count in general.
Spent way too long on word count.
Who cares? I do think, though,
we did too many words.
That those metrics that are attached to the discussion board may be better used attached to assignments. Like if you
that's a good point.
Had students.
I like that.
I'm going to say that's actually another thing, though, that when I've had instructors that tell students to download this Word document, finish filling it out, and then upload it. The students download it, finish filling it out, upload it, but then the originality report is completely skewed to being plagiarized because everything is the same except for what they filled in.
I've put in the Blackboard Anthology forum that they should add the analytics report that are in the discussion boards to journals.
Oh, cool.
Because that would actually be a function where
did you tell us? We'll vote it up. Good.
I'll share the link
we're
later.
We're good for voting
things. Because I think
right now
it's just in that future consideration category.
Gotcha.
So get more people in it. But I had an instructor say, this would be nice.
Yeah, it would.
I was like, hey, that would be nice.
It would be.
Well, speaking of the future.
Well, speaking of right now, actually, let's first start with right now what we have with AI. What has changed? And they've definitely incorporated these things since our last episode. But we have a ton of AI features now in Ultra.
We do.
Some better than others.
I'm going to say none of them are excellent.
But some of them are pretty good.
I think quiz generation's good.
Pretty good, yes.
The tricky bit is like a lot of courses I work on, the content doesn't live in documents, you know? And the quiz feature is based around that idea that you're going to build big documents and then you're going to build a quiz off of them. And it's great at that. But a lot of the content that goes in is PDFs or PowerPoints or videos or whatever. And so it doesn't really have a way to get a purchase on those.
There's a way that could hopefully change as native documents start to get more embedded over time.
Well, and I'm wondering, too, if you can generate quizzes and save those as pool questions. So you can do that.
Yeah, you can.
For the components as you're going through and then compile a quiz based on all your components. So it's a little more labor intensive.
Well, and I guess there's no fix for this because having built-in AI component like that is counting on the content being kind of built-in, right?
Right.
But
right.
Course design these days, a lot of times you're saying, hey, go watch this TED Talk and go to the library's journal databases and read this article and other things like that. So there's no real way to leverage it there.
Yeah.
But to the extent that you do have content that it can get to, I think it does a pretty nice job.
Yeah. I think the one AI feature that I like more than quiz generation is rubric generation. Because it is pretty simple and elegant that if you just list your categories, your subjects that you want it to measure, it does it. It provides pretty succinct and clear descriptors for each column of you do this to fullest extent possible and you're getting a 9 or 10 points, and then you do this one with mostly. It describes well each category in a way that tracks.
Well, and it's customizable. So once that's built, you look at that and you think that's not exactly what I meant, it's
And that
you can set points or percentages or ranges. Mm-hmm.
That is a point that is. That's a hard part of developing rubrics. It's not so hard to chop up the grid and say, okay, I want them to be good, better, and best, and I care about these four things. It's really describing the levels that, slows you down.
And having those starting points is nice to have with the generated rubrics. It gives you sort of a draft.
Yeah, that's a win.
Absolutely. I'll say module generation for me.
I like it.
And mostly because while, yes, they do have a lot of things that they just put in there automatically. I love that you can say, hey, generate 12 modules, name them module 1 through 12, and then you have 12 modules, and you can go in and edit.
Right.
You can change the image that we'll talk about in a minute of the module. You can change the description if you want. You can change even the title. But they're just empty, and that way that's something that, you don't have, those are not extra clicks you have to make.
Yeah, no, I've used it for that. I like it.
And tons of my instructors this time, that's what I had them do in our dev cycle when they were rebuilding the course and loved it. It saved them a ton of time because then they just automatically had their boxes to put their things in.
And yes, the pictures being able, now that it's connected to Unsplash, that's really nice.
Unsplash is nice.
That's the win. The AI image generation, I know where you're going with this, is not great.
It is not.
No. But.
Especially if you have humans in the photo, because they will not always look like actual humans.
Or
words. Oh, yeah. They don't. It does not know how to make
words. They're on the far side of the uncanny valley.
Yeah. You're not going to be confused by those creations. But Unsplash,
that's a win.
Built in. I've always loved that site, and having it in there is lovely.
I use it all the time anyway, and not having to go to another browser window, find it, download it, upload it.
Isn't it surprising that just that simple round trip is such a huge win to not have to do that? Because we were always willing to do it because the quality was there. Well, yeah, but I mean, I never thought of it as really onerous to have to flip over, find what I needed, download it, upload it, But now that I can just go.
Have to do that, I'm like, ugh.
Well, what I would do in previous iterations earlier on with Ultra was on a couple courses that the content kind of aligned for it well. I created custom module images myself. Like I just jumped into a design software and used the dimensions for the module image.
Like Canva.
I just built something really quick. I did a little research and that was fun. That's not my primary role though as an instructional designer. And so if I can find an image that's already integrated into the LMS and just click it, and that saves me 20, 30 minutes.
I do love Unsplash because of that.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I love the banner generator that our tips folks have.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, a link to.
I still just use Canva.
Shout out
I used the banner generator that they made to make sort of a baseline banner, and then I brought it into Photoshop, and I have all the layers for the components, and so I can change out the background and the text as needed. So thanks, guys.
I use it, the actual one, the banner generator that we're talking about, the one that's our own.
We'll put a link
I use it when the photos are appropriate to the course that I'm doing. When the photos aren't appropriate to the course that I'm doing.
But they keep adding more photos.
They do keep adding. And I keep checking.
And you can ask them.
Because I use it to get the download of the text.
It's very cool.
It's great.
We'll put it in the show notes. You don't have to have it. You can use it even if you don't work. Yeah.
It is brand aligned.
It won't be brand aligned for other people, though. I mean,
no.
Well, they can use the solid colors and gradients and stuff, though. They can do it that way.
But yeah,
what I like to do sometimes, I don't do this in every course, but courses where it makes sense, where there's some margin to play around with it, is I'll take those same dimensions of the banner. But because you can add components with the text editor really easily and drop components, is I would make a banner heading at the top of each lesson intro and objectives document.
Oh, you're an overachiever.
Because, well, like I said,
I've done that once, where
I had margin in some courses. Like I had one in a finance course where I had a tree in the middle that I designed, and each week added more dollar bills to the tree. Because money doesn't grow on trees, except in this image where it does. That was my joke. And my professor ran with it, and I was grateful that he did.
Fly in a rim shot for that one, okay? And can we put a rim shot in post? I want it.
I don't know if I'd categorize it as an L. It's just part of the trend of design cross-culturally right now, is that it's the whole system is very plain. And there's not a ton of customizability yet, as far as it's just a lot of white space text.
I've heard so many people think of that as a benefit right now.
This guy.
I think James is one of those
people. This guy loves the minimalism of the basic design.
But I kind of miss many the ornate.
Many instructors are put out.
My favorite is an instructor who took one look at it and said, but where are all my colors?
Yeah. And well, we took them back.
And I'm all for the accessibility side of that, right? Don't
overcomplicate
font colors that it's going to make it unreadable to people. But in the secondary and tertiary components of the LMS, I would like a little more customizability to change the color of the heading, like banner, or not just the banner itself, but like the actual black bar that goes across the top, or
there are some things
the left nav
that it gets a little monotonous if you're.
I want to be able to put bullets in the description of the modules.
Oh yeah, because it just runs as a line of text no matter what, and that gets really.
I will say that is the one thing I love about module images, though, is that it
is
brings
fixed.
The color
in there that, without being
overwhelming. Also, it like you can make it very distinguishing for each module, whether it's a theme there or it says lesson one specifically in the image itself.
And I will say, with the future rollout of developing native documents, that will probably change that a bit more, because there is going to be a lot more customizability coming, where I think part of it is the downside of we work on these large desktop screens where when I stretch my browser, it's massive and it's taken up a lot of real estate. So it is a lot of white space compared to a student who's maybe just working on a laptop. It's not going to be as just overwhelming white space all the time. So that could be part of my bent or my
But I think we
skew.
Are about to get the abilities to have text in columns, to have images within those columns, so it's not just all central.
Yeah.
That is what I'm waiting for.
Only being able to do images to width and not float text around them was a limitation of the text. I mean, we've already talked about the text editor a little bit, but yeah, sometimes limits are good, though. I was a little sad when they rolled out module images, to be honest. I've seen them I've seen them done well. I usually don't bother. I was happy that they limited folder depth, and I was sad when they backtracked on
they
it a little bit.
They only added one more layer.
I mean, they
added one more level.
They picked the right answer the first time.
Because it was two.
They folded.
Right.
No, I'm with them on this one. More than what they went to is too many. But this, I think, is the Goldilocks.
We'll just have to agree to disagree.
Well, I think your word counts are stupid.
You got to have some pragmatic way to communicate the gist of what counts as an answer.
The fun thing with folder depth is I will, be a little more particular in a shared LMS space like that, but don't ever pull up my personal files to see how far my folder depths go.
I'm there.
That is a terrifying experience. Yeah, I'll throw folders and folders and folders and folders and folders.
I think there are two types of people. There are people that have elaborate folder structures for their personal files wherever they live, and there's the rest of the world. And I think the elaborate folder structure people, that's a very tiny percentage. And I think one of the things that I had to get used to was to realize that most people don't bother with that.
This kind of brings the point that Ultra is not designed to be the, file dumpster of our brain. It's designed to be a learning space. And that's why they don't have folders within folders within folders, and they just have a folder within a folder. Because it's designed so that someone else doesn't have to try to pick through your brain to figure out where the content is.
Right. And we weren't suggesting that it should be.
No.
That was a tangent.
No, I definitely understand that. But I think that's kind of the beauty of that kind of minimalism is that you're not the boundaries of that restrict instructors so that students aren't picking through their brain to figure out what it is they're supposed to be doing or learning.
Yes. The basic idea of user experience is to have some consistency so that you don't have to relearn it every time. And there's still plenty of flexibility, but there's some baseline things that you can't do, and it helps keep it from getting out of hand. Like,
I was going to tell you some of my other favorite features that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to feedback per question.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's going to be really exciting that instructors can actually target a question on a particular assignment and say, hey, this is what I want you to focus on, or this is the feedback I'm giving. Advanced release conditions. So not just date and time and performance, but linking it to both or to...
I'd like to see.
Oh, you can already link it to both.
I'd like to see
that's
views.
That's true. You and I had this conversation a while back, didn't we?
Yeah. And I was really confused that because I'm always the one who doesn't know what's going on, I feel like.
And then anonymous discussions. I'll say that. I'm looking forward to the potential for that.
Now, that would be interesting but also dangerous, I feel like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of these will the devil's in the details, right?
Sure.
There's a lot of opportunities to drop the ball in the implementation of some of these things. They've been doing great. But this makes me nervous, these ones you mentioned, because I can see how they would
go. Now, here's the thing. I'd be curious, what is true anonymity?
I like the...
If there is an academic violation or an integrity violation.
Right.
Or a,
Behavioral
violation.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, I would
Pandora's expect that the LMS has the ability to source out who is stating that.
So I'm really interested to see about the embedded knowledge checks that are coming.
Yes.
Because a lot of times right now we're using something like H5P for that. And I love H5P. They have a lot of good variety in their options for knowledge checking. But, it's right there already in Ultra. That feels really good.
Yeah. That's one of the things I've liked using Rise more and playing with that, because all those little knowledge checks that you can
do. And if they're coming right to Ultra, though,
yeah,
that plus the embedded video recording, that feels good to me.
That'll expedite a lot of development, I'm sure, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Cross our fingers.
Let's hope. Now the question will be, though, if we have an instructor embed video recording straight into Ultra, where is that archiving?
Right.
Because now we're going to have it maybe in two different landing places.
Right.
And that's going to get confusing.
And our data is restricted.
So we may still just have to stick with Kaltura.
It may still be a Kaltura. That's a good –
Which is nice. I will say I do like that we utilize Kaltura.
Listening to us
– You need to hear this.
Listening to us gripe about about Kaltura, not Kaltura, but about Ultra, makes me think back to what a boon LMSs are compared to every effort that people tried to make it education at a distance prior to LMSs. I'll bet you they tried to like, and even once they had digital tools, how they tried to run it out of like email or something like that. And what a nightmare
all
of that
was. I found my grandfather's correspondence course in architecture.
Right.
You know?
I remember, yeah, I had a friend who took French by a correspondence. That, what a weird experience. You know, envelopes and stamps and the whole nine yards. We've come a long way, baby.
I will say one AI feature that I'm kind of excited about is the AI suggested alt text for images. Because right now, I think it just marks everything as decorative.
Yeah.
But that's, I think alt text is something that people struggle with, and it's really important for accessibility. And so I love that that's going to be an option.
And we've seen that in, I've seen it evolve too. PowerPoint was the first place I noticed it was with alt. And at first the alt text was pretty, you know, pretty not great, you know, but in more recent iterations, it's gotten quite descriptive, you know, a man holding a hat, you know, it can get, it gives you a good start and it encourages that behavior.
I wonder what they'll do for tables.
Nothing.
Tables
is
images.
You're stuck with.
Dude, you can just do the table in Word and drop it in there with the preview.
But then every time you have to make a change.
I actually meant
to your table.
When people put tables in as images instead of tables.
I've not seen that.
I've got one that did that. We instead switched to the crummy table.
Yeah.
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 Ultra, but
pick your poison,
we're not happy
regard.
About it.
But if the AI generator could do great alt text,
then yeah.
Now it'd be really long, depending on the table.
So it sounds like overall, I don't know what the score is at this point.
I don't know, yeah.
But I think we're in the plus significantly. So we should cancel the protest of the switch to Ultra by Fall 24. As designers, we actually like this. We're going
to
keep it.
We do. And to be fair, most instructors, I mean, I expected it would be hard. In the early days, we had to try to sell people on switching to this thing, right, before it was mandated. And you still want to, like, make it something people want to do. But now there's a date, right? But I was surprised how it was a pretty easy sell. I mean, just it's visually fresh looking compared to the old. I mean, because me, I have to get into the functionality and figure out whether I like it or not. It's like, sure, it looks pretty. Let's see if it can do anything. Many people liked it from the get-go, just glancing at it. And then if you showed them any of these features we have talked about, any of the pros to it, they would ooh and ah over it. Now, once they're out there teaching, then we start to get the, man, I'm trying to do this thing in the gradebook, and it's just not – doesn't quite make sense to me. And occasionally there's just things where even though Ultra does it better, if you've spent years doing it another way – it's just tricky to
retrain your brain.
Yeah, to start over, to get that kind of beginner's mind about it. In fact, I'm not even sure you can do it. It's really hard.
I'll tell you, though, I've been surprised at some of the instructors that I, when I was getting their classes ready for the spring semester, I would go ahead and start converting it to Ultra and show them and say, I've got your other one is ready to go. It's, you know, the package is tied and bound. It's ready to go. I can just pop it into your new shell. It's fine. Or if you want to try this, I've got it started. Here's what it looks like. Give me a couple days. I can have it ready. And they all switched.
Yeah. Great. That's lovely.
You know, it's
I think of all the people, including some people I would describe as hard cases, all but one. I've only had one person ever say, man, I wish I could use the old version. Everybody else has always said, that it's better, that they like working in it better, that they like teaching in it better.
Navigating in it is much simpler.
That they're more comfortable in it. And of course, everybody in this room or these rooms knows – having to go back to Classic after you've been working in Ultra so much is painful. You're like, oh my goodness, where is it, first off, the
thing?
And then
I X out of the whole thing every time.
I'm going to say even from the get-go. So by the time we started our podcast last year.
Not today, but last year.
Yeah, last year.
Okay. It feels like a year ago.
Sorry, when we launched the podcast, I should say that, then I had been going through development. Like, I had actually every single course I had in development at the time went through Ultra. Just like you were talking about, it wasn't a hard sell. There was nothing that, you know, like, yes, are there features that would love to update or change or tweak or whatever, yes. But, oh my gosh, significantly better. I cannot tell you when I have to go into an old course.
from even a marketing standpoint, as the university grows, I mean, to present a product out there, it's gonna be a much better user experience for the majority of students. There might be some features in some courses that would have benefited from staying in original at least a little longer. Ultra is going to catch up to some of those features that were already rounded out well in original that it hasn't quite replicated fully yet.
You know, I think I rounded a corner with it when I first saw it. I was like, oh, it's their take on Canvas. And then there came a point where I was taking a professional development course in Canvas, and I was like, oh, I actually like Ultra better than this. You know, it went from being somebody's take on Canvas to being, you know, to having its own kind of ideas about things in ways that work better with my own brain than Canvas does.
Props to the Anthology folks as they got a hold of it.
I mean,
they've continued to put a lot of research and time and energy into the product.
Yeah, for real.
Thanks for joining us on the Pedagogy Toolkit. Don't forget to subscribe.